Blog Talk Radio.
Hey. Welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today show. Hey, this is Marcia, Dr. Cupertino, and I'm happy to be back with you again. You know, the Creator God is so good because, you know, He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to touch me. He didn't have to call my name through the eons of time. He didn't have to say, ooh, you know, I don't think I'm going to hear from Marcia today. He didn't say that. So, yay, here we are on the show of all shows. You know, we don't pull punches. We don't hold back from telling you exactly what you want to hear and need to know. There's a difference about what's going on in our world and how you play a part. And this morning's episode, we're going to be talking about the future of the black man in America or the future of man in the world. And we're only saying this because I believe when the Creator said, oh, come on, let us, U.S., let us make man in our image, He didn't say, let's make the black man in my image. He didn't say, come, let us make a white man in our image. He did not say, come, let us make a China man, a Latino, Hispanic, Mexican in our image. He said, come, let us make man in our image. So we're not going to just stress this morning anything about the black man in America from a solo position. We're going to talk about all men right now because all men, women, and children are involved in activities that has the power, has the strength, has the stronghold on the mind to represent what they're going to be doing 1 month from today, 1 year, for the rest of an eternity that they think they're going to spend on earth. Hey, there's some that don't believe that there's going to be an eternity somewhere else. So we are not just going to talk about the black man in America. He's in an upheaval. He's created some havoc because he feels that that's probably the only way that he's going to be heard. At least that's what I'm hearing and that's what I'm reading. But the Creator above, and you can hit that switch and get out of here, get off of here if you want to, but the Creator above had a plan for all men, all men, all men, all men, those with inalienable rights. If you want to talk about the Constitution of the United States of America, we can go there. Some of us, like myself, know it word for word. So we are stressing the Creator on this show today that had plans for the future, the eternal future of man in the world, not just the black or the white one. But right now, some of us are saying, you know, that sounds good, Dr. C, but what am I living for today? What are we living for? What were all men created for in the first place? Maybe we need to go back and talk about that. What were they created for anyway? Just to eat and sleep and get up and throw rocks? Hey, let's kind of get down with that. What really happens when and if one race dominates another race? And there seems to be no progress on either of the ends. And if one particular race seems to progress, we see another race has struck out to undo whatever that progress is. Where do we end up following people that do that, races that do that? Where should we go when we have a problem with another race? Where should we make innocent people suffer? Should we get involved in millions and millions of dollars worth of carnage? What happens? Where do we end up? Well, we're going to stress on that this morning on the show. And as you know, we always have our, and I want to say our own, we always have Reverend Colonel Dr. Harrison on our show. And now I've had some people question me about all of these titles. Well, let me tell you something. While I really appreciate you questioning me on some of these titles that I use with some of our guests, but I want you to kind of stress some of these other titles. I have heard senior pastor. I don't know what a senior pastor is. I don't know what that is. What I do know is that Paul was Paul. Peter was Peter. And when you can lay hands on the dead and raise them, oh, yeah, you might deserve or you might want some big-time title because you raised the dead. But as far as I know, when he was crucified, one of the other apostles called him Paul Crucified. He didn't call him Dr. Paul, Senior, Reverend Paul. You guys go back and check. Before you send doctor anything, you make sure you have done your research because by the time you have reached me, I probably have underscored that particular question years, decades ago. So as it stands right now, we have with us, and I love to call him Colonel. Colonel Harrison, you are with us, right? I see you here, your phone number on the dashboard. Are you with us this morning? Say hello.
Good morning, Dr. Capitino and listening audience. Yes, I am with you and very happy and pleased to be with you again. So top of the morning to you and the listening audience.
Yeah, I got a lot of sun in my face, so I feel like it is top of the morning. Thank you so much, Colonel Harrison, for being with us this morning. Well, you know, there's still chaos in the land. There's still reports of impending additional chaos in the land. I understand some particular groups have attempted to hold three states in the Union hostage, saying that in order to continue operating as a state, you got to pay us so much money and you got to do this with the police departments all in the states. And oh my God, this, whatever this is, it doesn't have, this chaos doesn't even have a title anymore. It is, oh, let me wake up, let me turn the TV on, let me see what's happening now. It's gotten so crazy out there. And some people in our union and our states and our nation is happy, and some are very unhappy. But our title stresses that we as human beings, and I hope some of those still exist, should be interested not just in the future of the black man in America, but we need to be really concerned about the future of man in the world, because as we know, there's a lot of prophetic statements going around saying that, you know, this might be the end of the world, this might be part of the tribulation or whatever it is. I don't care what it is. And I know you as a minister don't care about hearsay. You care and I care and most of our listeners care about what does prophecy say. Anything out of my mouth is worthless if it is not prophetic and based on the written word. So I'm concerned with the world at large and what our Creator said we are to look for. His Son, before he departed, he said, look at the signs. And I've even heard some ministers deny certain things. Oh, no, it ain't that. Oh, no, it ain't this. Oh, no, it ain't going to be about that. But from our vantage point, do you think it is a wise thing to be concerned with the future of the human race and not just one race of that human race? What are your thoughts, Colonel Harrison?
Absolutely, Doc. I'm in agreement that we should be concerned about the future of the human race. We're in a quagmire, meaning we're between a rock and a hard place, present day, present time, because while people have a right to assemble and exercise the freedom of speech, we don't have a right to advocate overthrowing the government. So the tone that those of us who are adults and had some exposure to life and probably over 40 or 50 years of age should be tutoring someone, mentoring someone that's younger to give them some principles upon which to live by, because we all are our brother's keeper. We live in a multi-generational society, a multi-racial society, and so If one falters, then the others are going to falter. I'm mindful of one of the greatest empires that's on earth, which was the fifth kingdom of earth, and that was the Roman Empire. Rome had ruled the world for about 400 years. Rome was not defeated by no military force. Rome was destroyed from within by its own people, and it was a diversified society. Pretty much so as the United States is today, a diversified society. And we have to be careful that we don't destroy ourselves from within because of lack of love, lack of understanding, lack of compassion, giving honor to a deity. And the deity I give honor to is God. So we have to be concerned about the future and make sure that we plant the seeds for the generation that's younger than us to be able to carry on and do what was called of them and what it was purposed to do by the creator of the universe, Pauls.
Yeah, my God. And that creator of the universe is really the only entity that we should be involved in today or interested in today, because no one is really listening to any other rulership, empire, so-called man-made deity. No one is listening. No one is listening to their leaders. No one is listening to those that, as the scriptures say, honor those that have rule over you. No one is doing that. No one is doing that at all. They are laying men out. You know, I'm not going to call the name of one, but someone I know recently had a month-long funeral, and then others are being semi-worshipped and honored, even though the shelter in place and the 6 feet distancing. I've seen a very prominent man's funeral. I think it was the end of last week or whatever. And they had all them people in that church hobbled all on top of each other. See, it just goes to show where man is at. And they and if we go back through scripture, I know you mentioned the Roman Empire. You didn't open your mouth there talking about you got a freedom of speech. Anyone would have dared. You were killed on the spot. You talk about freedom of speech, go over to China and start talking. No, better yet, go over to North Korea. They don't have that BS. They didn't have it then. They don't have it now. There are several countries. You better not open your mouth up. You're executed on the spot. But because the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and other elements that the Founding Fathers came up with and enacted on, because people can't really move around like they want to with their mouth, then there is a problem. There's a disrespect of the Constitution. The First Amendment rights has just been disrespected. The Second Amendment has been disrespected. There's been a lot of freedom. Some say too much here in the States, but these other countries, they don't go for that. And you don't see that happening. You don't see that happening at all because they don't allow that. But because there's been so much freedom here in America, you have all sorts of uprising. And, of course, it hasn't ended yet, and it's not going to end right. But I also want to talk about this freedom of speech. Most people don't know that the majority of Bibles, 90%, guess where they are put together or manufactured and translated? In China, China, China. But you can't go over there preaching the Bible. But most of our Bibles, just about all of them, are made there in China. But I tell you what, send a group over there and let them start talking about whatever's in it and see where they end up. Only in America has this disrespect came about, and that's why many countries now, people really want to get some information, they need to find out about the pending embargoes. They need to study the Gulf of Mexico, where food is imported and exported out of U.S. They need to talk about the state of New Mass, where the ships of Iran, Saudi, and a lot of these other countries are sitting there talking about blockading America. America is getting ready to starve to death. We need to start talking about that, and that's not a black thing. That's not a white thing. That's a, hey, this is what we're going to do things because we hate America. I think we need to be concentrating on people that hate America and what they're getting ready to do and what has already been prophesied concerning the King of the North and the King of the South. I think people really need to get into the Word for themselves while they can, while, as the songs say, while they have a chance, because they are not being taught that. I dare one pastor, this is Dr. Cupertino talking, I dare one to get up tomorrow and start talking about the King of the North and the King of the South in biblical prophecy. They would lose half of their flock, if not more. The people they're talking to, they don't know anything about that, because if they did, they would not be trying to push any black agenda, any white agenda. They'd be really pushing God's agenda for real. But because they have not laid the foundation for the King of the North teaching and the King of the South, well, what do I do? Why do I need to know this? That's probably where it's at. Oh, I don't want to talk like that. You know, I may frighten them. Oh, they aren't going to understand. This is God's world. The church, according to Peter and Paul and Jesus, the church belongs to God. So what? Whoever is standing up there, oh, well, you know, I'm standing in God's place here on earth. Well, whatever you're doing, instead of talking about right now, which is predominantly on the mouths of everyone, the black man, he's been mistreated, the black man, he was a sure he has. But the ones that started the mistreatment, they're long dead, centuries ago. They are long dead. So right now, they should be talking about. Let's cut it off, talking about the future of the black man. Let's concentrate on everybody's future. Let's talk about where this world is headed, because Jesus, when he was up on that mount, what did he say? He said, there's going to be, look out, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And I'm not going to finish that because, you know, I'm not on here to really take over what I say is a Dr. Curly at this place. But we are wrong when we start talking about anything that has to do outside of God's realm because of a so-called freedom of speech and the Bible. And the Bible, most people didn't know that. And then you just mentioned the Roman Empire. It was destroyed from within, without. And this is exactly where we are now. So we aren't going to be blaming Trump. We're going to blame none other than Lucifer, the Prince of Darkness. I'm not going to talk about Biden. I'm going to talk about what Jesus said. I'm not going to talk about where women are at in this gnosis. You know, they're climbing ropes, they're farming, they're this, this, and that. The household is in shambles. It can't be redeemed. You have thousands of gangs now, some as young as 8 carrying AK-7s, 8 years old. It is gone. What have we done since the so-called industrial age? Colonel, you have been a minister for quite some time, and I understand that you are now part of a movement, not a moment, that addresses the liberty and the limitations and the future inhabitations of the black man in America, which also discusses the elements of his future. He's black, he's done this, he's been there, he's done that. Now, in this, I guess, symposium or conference that is called by that name, you're going to be one of the speakers. Not to steal your thunder, but can you give us a little bit about what you might be talking about August 27th, 28th, and 29th, because people are waiting to hear from you and some of the other speakers. And thank God now it's going to be Zoomed out. Yay! So people all around the world that want to listen in, they will have the opportunity. What is going to be your focus at the end of this month in this conference? You're one of the speakers. What is your focus?
I had three considerations, Dr. Cupertino, and I ended up with one. One was Brother's Keeper, the other was a black church, and the other was the black race in general. And so that's probably one I'll speak to, and I'll approach it from a perspective that those who are black, have to prepare themselves to be the best that they can be, educational wise, spiritually, and morally, and otherwise. In other words, I'm saying, if I feel that I need to better myself so I can position myself to get a better job, then I have to seek increased training, either vocational training or academia training, so that I can get the necessary paperwork, diplomas, degrees, so forth and so on, position me to get a better job. I'm of the impression in the United States, since it's the home of the brave and the land of the free, there's still equal opportunity for everyone. There may be certain things and doors and opportunities and jobs that may not be open to every particular race, but there is enough wealth in this country to spread around, aside from the pandemic. So one has to prepare themselves academically, spiritually, and with respect to their self-esteem, to identify for a job. And sooner or later, they keep trying with them. They'll be able to get a job and so forth.
Colonel Harrison, I can't hear you. I can't hear you, Colonel Harrison. And if I know I can, that's a problem with the others, because I'm monitoring the dashboard. Are you on speakerphone? Are you leaning down? Are you picking up something? I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, and I'm pretty sure the others can. I might want to ask you to repeat what you just said, because I don't know what happened. I don't know how we lost you. I think you were talking about the black man needs to get his skill sets to par, and he needs to think about where he's going to be in the future. I think that is what you said.
Am
I right on that?
Yeah. Yes, Doc. In addition, he and she has to prepare themselves academically, in terms of pursuing an academic profession or a vocational profession, a trade, and then get a spiritual balance in their lives and just continue to apply, interview, seek opportunities. Don't allow the color or the complexion of one's skin to become an impediment to your success. People will judge you once you prepare yourself by the content of your character rather than the color of your skin. But you have to have, black folk have to have their act together with respect to education, vocational backgrounds, balance in their lives, spiritual balance, and all those kinds of things. And we can move beyond. And the reason I say that is because this country has plenty of opportunities. The pandemic hit, and it'll bounce back again. But people got to look at themselves as having the ability, the desire, and wanting to succeed, aside from whether they were born black, white, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, or whatever. It's all in how we apply ourselves, position ourselves, and pursue that which we so desire.
Okay. That definitely sounds like a winner. There's some statesmen and political leaders saying that that isn't going to happen. They are saying that we have almost reached the point of no return. Universities are burning Bibles. Universities are burning a lot of the ancient writings that some of these universities that were set up in the 1600s, especially overseas, they're going and pulling books that are 400 or 500 years old off of shelves that can never be replaced, burning them. So I think we have a problem with that, because if you start talking about learning and schools of learning, well, that's where they are, in the colleges and the universities like Yale, Harvard, some that have been around for centuries. These young people and some older students are going in there saying it's all lies, it's no good, we have been lied to, these are white men's books, so no, I don't want to see them, I'm not going to read them anymore. So some are saying that we're at the point, really, of no return. So when we talk about the future of not only the black man in America and beyond, and the future of men, period, in the world, I think you and I is on this same plane. We've got to offer something more than that. If I was a professor of literature, I might say that. You know, I might say, yeah, you know, you got to go learn some skills. Hey, well, look at the job market. So that might not be good advice. Well, you got to get some education. Well, look at what's happening there. That might not be good advice. You know what? It probably was good advice 2 months ago. It is not good advice now. I'm thinking from our vantage point, and you guys can hang up if you want to, but I think at the turning point of where we're at in the history of man, not just the black man, anybody worth their grain of salt, if we're going to offer any advice, it should be three words. And my father, when they had the Watts riots in the 65, and then they had the Rodney King in 1992, people turned to my father to say, what's going on? They're burning everything up. The black folk is tearing everything apart. And he was just sitting there. I was there in his office, and I saw him, and I said, oh, my God, Jehovah. How is Bishop Mims going to get out of this question? He looked at him, and he was listening intently. And when all was said and done, about 25 in his office, and they said, so what do you think about that, Rev? He said, they all need to return to God. Now, my father is half Armenian and half black man. So I don't know if he was listening to his heart or the blood DNA or whatever, but he said, return to God. They wanted him to say some big spiel about what the black man should do and where he should be. He said, return to God. He said, and then he went on to reiterate, he said, that's all they got. He said, the white man got everything. He said, but the black man, he ain't got nothing. He got a paycheck at the end of the week. But he said, the white man got to okay that. He said, the white man got everything. He said, but the black man, he has no choice. Now, the riots was crazy. Blood was running like water. It's an activist, Sweet Alice, here. She said she went down there looking for people to rescue, and she said blood was running in the street into the drain. The National Guard had shot up so many black folk. I lived through that. By just being a baby or whatever, she was saying all that happened. So now, I'm thinking as you and I talk, is that something the black man want to hear? Do the black man really want to hear? That's his only way out. Return to God. You can run the Congress. You can run over here. You can run there. You can throw Molotov cocktails. You can defund the police. Whatever you want to do, but. As you were talking about what the black man needs to do, I didn't hear that. And I know you was getting ready to add it because you must worry. You're a man of cloth. You have a ministry there. You preach every Sunday. So I know you know that, and you were probably getting ready to say it, but the solution and the future, if there's going to be a future to mankind on earth, he, she, they have got to return to God. And they were stunned. They had talked to Bishop Mims for about an hour and a half. And he said, he didn't say a word. When it was all said and done, he said, they got to return to God. I was stunned as well as the others. So in the 90 seconds that we have, is that something that you also tell your parishioners, no matter what they run to you with, oh, they did this, they did that, they throwing rocks. Do you tell them the only solution to anyone on earth having a future is that they return to God? Is that what you minister, Colonel?
Yes, Doc, that's what I minister. God first, and then these earthly pursuits secondly. Without God, we're nothing. It's the beginning. God is the beginning and the end, and he's the creator of the universe. God may be called by different names, Jehovah, some of the other names, but God is still God. So one must morally see God first, get a balance in their life, get directions in their life, and then they can pursue the path that God directs and leads them to.
You heard it, black man, white man. The future of anyone in this world is that they return to God. Thank you so much for tuning in. Oh, wait a minute. I see a question here. Who is God? Psalm 83:18, King James Version, Psalm 83:18, that they may know that thou, whose name art Jehovah, art the Most High God over all the earth. God bless you. We'll look to hear from you some way by spirit next week, same time, same place, to the spot of the hour. Global Vision for Living Today. God bless you. Have a great weekend.